Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Of all the state rankings out there, education, employment, healthy behaviors, one that's gotten little attention is this. In last year's midterm election, Indiana had the worst voter turnout in the country. That's according to the United States Elections Project, a ranking that suggests we're number one in an unfortunate category, failing to do our civic duty. Among those who find this alarming, Ray Sheely, Ball State Professor of Political Science and co-director of the Bowen Center for Public Affairs. He is helping organize the 34th annual Bowen Institute on Political Participation in April in Indianapolis.
We started this over a generation ago with a real concern over the drop-off of participation by citizens and residents on everything from showing up to vote on election day all the way down to no longer joining groups, no longer active in political parties, active in local school board races, not showing up at public meetings. All of these things were pretty evident even back in the early 80s. And Doc Bowen was just leaving office. He was a medical doctor who was very, very concerned about the drop-off in participation. And so John Fisher, who was then the CEO of Ball Corporation here in Muncie, asked us to come up with something that would honor Doc Bowen's legacy after 8 years as governor. Of course, Governor Bowen went on to become Secretary of HHS under President Reagan. But he was very instrumental in working with us to put together the Bowen Institute. We started it targeting people who have evidenced some kind of interest in politics, government, civic groups, but have not really participated very much. So we sent out letters. We looked for civic leaders to nominate people that they knew that they had come across that they thought would benefit from an institute to show them how to become more engaged and also do it more effectively. Then we also, of course, made this Institute on Political Participation available to students, not just Ball State students. For example, this year in April, when the Institute opens up at the Barnes and Thornburg Law Offices in Indianapolis, we're going to have 24 students coming down from Taylor University. We'll be participating with our Ball State students and perhaps even a handful from Anderson University. Some of the smaller liberal arts colleges that don't have a program like this, we certainly encourage them to come as well. And we also then have the citizens that are nominated by civic leaders, we send letters out to congressmen, we send them out to the governor, and they'll nominate someone perhaps from their staff or someone they know that they've run into it in their campaigns. And then we ask them, we invite them, said, you've been nominated by the governor. Well, that usually gets their attention. And we often have the governor speak. We haven't had Governor Pence yet, but we had Governor Daniels, for example, speak at the Institute as a keynote. So it's pretty visible in terms of the overall community.
Have you seen benefits of participation in this program? Have you seen people go on to run for office or become very active in some way?
Oh, indeed. Someone that a lot of folks here in Muncie and Delaware County know, because she's been an office holder for some time in the county building, 4 years, for example, as county auditor, was Judy Rust. She was one of our first, way back when we had the institute here on campus. She attended. She and her husband, John Rust, who was also to become a city councilman, she was very interested, and she found our institute to be a real eye-opener in terms of how to start participating effectively. So yes, we've had several people come along to actually run for office.
There's sort of a tide of apathy and mistrust about government.
Oh, yes, indeed. We stress the fact that this is a nonpartisan institute. We do not get involved, although we talk about issues. We do not start screaming at one another in terms of what unfortunately happens in a lot of political discourse today. But what we do is we try to set forth ways in which you can get your point of view across effectively. We have hands-on exercises, how to write a letter to the editor, for example, to a local newspaper, how to keep it short and make your point without screaming in the ink. We talk about how to write letters if you're going to put together a campaign to support a particular person for office. We talk about how to come up with your social media, what a web page should look like, what a Twitter account does, and what it can't do. All of these kinds of things we stress. We are trying to stimulate individuals to become more involved and at the same time do it more effectively.
And this could be of value for people who not just thinking of running for office or supporting someone, but people who are involved in their neighborhoods or local causes.
Exactly. We talk about that a lot. Robert Putnam, the Harvard political science professor in the early 90s, wrote that famous article and book later called Bowling Alone, in which he used bowling teams as the example that, indeed, people don't join bowling teams anymore. They're still bowling and the alleys are still open, but they go out and they practice by themselves or perhaps with one other friend. The whole idea of Putnam's
civic clubs, fraternal organizations, front porches, so much has changed.
Exactly. And basically, that's the cohesion of society, is getting together with other people.
Ball State political science professor Ray Sheely, co-director of the Bowen Center for Public Affairs. He's helping put together the 34th annual Bowen Institute on Political Participation in April. For more information, you can go to bowencenterforpublicaffairs.org or drop us a note and we'll get you that information. Professor Sheely notes that Indiana was dead last in voter turnout in last year's election, but of course that's not the case every year, and he has some thoughts about how to turn that around just ahead.
I'm writers and critics who prophesize with your pen. And keep your eyes wide, the chance won't come again.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com.
I'm Ray Sheely, professor of political science and co-director of the Bowen Center for Public Affairs here at Ball State University. We are having our 34th annual Bowen Center program, which is called the Bowen Institute on Political Participation. We have a lot of studies that we also bring up during the institute that as to what brings people out. And we know that the best way to campaign for a political office, or for that matter, anything, even if you're trying to raise money for a local charity, is by knocking on doors and asking the person to come forward and do something. That gets people moving. Now, if you're in a safe district with no opponent, you don't go out and knock doors. That's hard work. And so there's a whole lot of things that are contributing to the downfall of political participation. And that's one of the things that we are constantly fighting against.
But the old ways still work. You think of social media-driven methods, the presidential election of 2008, and the use of social media in that. But I can think of campaigns that I watched. I think of Mitch Daniels driving around to every county in Indiana twice, I think, in an RV.
Indeed.
And he was fun to watch.
Indeed. I teach a campaign class here on campus at Ball State. And I have all of Governor Daniels' television commercials, and I show them in class. And they are classics. But I also point out that every election doesn't stand on its own. I mean, that RV was originally used by Larry Conrad back in 1976 as he traveled the state running for governor. He lost, but those ideas are borrowed, or if you say they're conveyed to the next generation, and indeed they work. So we try to point that out too. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. You know some of the things that do work and some of the things that don't.
I saw Mitch Daniels at a county Republican dinner in Henry County, pulled up in the RV. He walks in and is chatting with these two young girls who are taking tickets at the front door. I'm sure he does this every time, but he had their names and everything. And when he got up to speak, he said, you know, Joanne and Mary were just telling me about, you know, and I thought that he did retail politics really well. It's fun in a way to watch skillful politicians at work connecting with people.
Indeed. I've staffed a lot of politicians through the years. I've written a lot of press releases, and I've been research directors for campaigns. And one of the things that I always do when I'm with a candidate and he or she is about ready to go up to the podium, the last thing I say to the candidate is, don't forget your spouse. Because it's very easy. You're thinking of this big, wide audience, and you're going to give your speech, and you almost memorized your speech, and you get up there, and you better say, well, I want you to know my wife is here, or my husband is over here, and we're very glad to be here. Those kinds of little things connect with people. They understand that you've got that touch. That's important.
How do you think that campaigns have to change to reach millennials? The young vote turned out again in 2008 in huge numbers, didn't show up as much in 2012. Am I right about that?
Well, I think we're talking about something very important here, because it's not just what you do in a campaign. You have to have an exciting candidate. That helps bring out the voters, the person that can engage the audience. Obama is a master at that. Bill Clinton is a master at that. Al Gore wasn't a very good master at that. I mean, you can almost go through and see. In 2008, when Senator Obama came in here campaigning in Indiana, you know, he only carried 14 out of our 19 or out of our 92 counties. Only 14. But he won all the big ones and a couple of small ones.
Marion Lake, Vandenberg. Did he get Allen County? I mean, that's...
Yes, every county that had a large university voted for him, including Delaware County, obviously Tippecanoe County over in Purdue and Bloomington and Evansville, Vandenberg County. And he picked up a few small counties. But you do not have to win half of the counties out of 92 in order to carry the state. If you target... we had David Axelrod on campus not long ago, a couple years ago, just after he left the White House. And I managed to worm my way into the car that picked him up at the Indianapolis airport and brought him to campus. And so I had a chance to talk with him, who, of course, ran the campaign in 2008 for Obama. And I asked him, I said, now, you know, for the 2012 election coming up, I said, don't forget about Indiana. You know, you carried it last time, and we like to see presidents come through Indiana. And he says, well, I'll tell you what we did. He says, we were working out of Chicago. And he says, we could get in a car and we could drive to northern Indiana, Lake County, Porter County, even go all the way to South Bend, he said, in about an hour. And we could hit two or three places and still be back and put him in bed before midnight.
Be in those media markets and making an impression.
And we couldn't do that, of course, because we're running it out of the White House now. We're out of Washington, D.C. And so we didn't see President Obama in 2012. But there's all of those logistics that once you start looking at it and studying it a bit, you can see how it works.
Ray Sheely, Ball State Professor of Political Science and co-director of the Bowen Center for Public Affairs. He's helping organize the 34th Annual Bowen Institute on Political Participation in April in Indianapolis. Just ahead, an Indiana Senator's contributions. And remember a time when the two major parties actually cooperated.
How many times can a man turn his head and pretend that he just doesn't see?
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Is blowing in the wind.
Bowling alone is one thing, but have we even regressed from that point? The level of non-participation we saw in 2014 in Indiana, people turned off by the rancor. Are you, by the metrics that you judge all this by, have we hit a new low? Is there hope that yet that people will get back into it?
Yeah, the first thing that we have to understand is, how did it get this way? And one of the reasons it got this way is the decline of our political party structures. We no longer have strong political parties. It was the political parties that used to slate candidates. Somebody wanted to run for office for the local dog catcher. They said, well, it's not your turn. You got to wait 4 more years and then we'll slate you. Okay? I mean, there was a way in which you got involved in politics and you moved up to a particular office that you were interested in. All of that has dissipated because all the money has gone away. Court decisions, et cetera, has said all the money, you can spend all the money you want for anything and not even, in most cases, say that you've spent it.
And also reforms, right, that were meant to diminish the impact of the smoke-filled rooms,
yes.
Right?
That's exactly right. And so, what do we have? I was talking to a very prominent, in fact, a Ball State graduate, former lobbyist here for our university.
Oh, Mike, yeah.
Mike McDaniel. He and I were talking at a conference not long ago, and I said, you know, I can remember back in the 1970s when we had a very strong Democratic state chairman and a very strong Republican state chairman, national committeeman. One was Keith Bulin, who was the Republican, and one was Gordon St. Angelo, who was the Democrat. And Mike and I agreed that if we had those kinds of strong leaders that said, it's your turn now or it's not your turn now, we wouldn't have people like Charlie White, who was the Secretary of State, who got elected statewide and then immediately had to be bounced from office because he was committing a felony in terms of where he was.
Voted in the wrong place.
Yes, I guess, exactly. Right? you know, we run into the problem with Tony Bennett as superintendent of public instruction, who was using state resources to campaign. Those kinds of things are embarrassing for our state. So one of the reasons we've got, one of the things we've got to do, I think, is start shoring up a little bit more of our political party structures. That's difficult. It's under new rules now because of the way the thing, the whole politics is financed. But nonetheless, I think that Indiana has been known as a strong party state, and frankly, it needs to start re-encouraging that. There's downsides to strong parties as well. There's no doubt about that. But I think that that's one element. It's not the only element. The other goes into what we try to do here at the Bowen Institute on political participation. Get people excited about doing it. I'll tell you, you'll never meet so many good people so fast as being a volunteer in a political campaign. You'll have them friends for life. You'll have contacts. These are men and women who are looking to better their communities, whether they're Republicans or Democrats or socialists. They may even have that idea that they can improve this society. So in that sense, there's a lot of ways we can do it. And I think the Institute on Political Participation is one of those.
Some of the names that we know best started out as volunteers.
Exactly. I was director of communications for Larry Conrad, who's a graduate of the political science department at Ball State University and was secretary of state when he lost to Governor Bowen in 76. And Larry would always say, and he was Birch Bayh's campaign manager prior to his own political career. And he said, in every campaign I've ever been involved with, he said, there's always one, maybe two people that you never expect them to do what they're doing, but suddenly they just blossom, and you can count on them to do anything. And they get hooked into politics and campaigning, and he said, you've got a person for life that is always going to be active. They're going to be straightforward with you. They're going to be hard workers. And Larry was right. I mean, you meet those kinds of people in politics.
We talk with young people sometimes and suggest that they get into this. A person has to know what they believe in, right? They have to find a cause or something that's worth sacrificing. I imagine there has to be sort of a discernment or something.
Yeah, you've got to like other people to begin with. You know, if you're a real introvert and all of that, it's going to take a lot longer for you to break that down and be able to, there's a lot of backslapping. You know, you've got to like people. You've got to get along with people. But there's all kinds of opportunities there. You don't necessarily have to be, a gorgeous looking person in order to become a great candidate. There's a lot of room in the back room to do research, to write speeches, to handle social media, to do those kinds of things that are integral for a campaign. They're really important. And you're contributing something that's very special in a democratic society.
Indiana has raised some terrific political personalities over the years. You've met some of these folks.
Sure. I had the privilege, really, of writing some for Birch Bayh. And, of course, we at Ball State honored him with an honorary degree. When the president, Worthen at the time, wanted to confer that on Birch Bayh. Of course, it helped that his son was governor of the state. But I was called to see if I would run Birch Bayh around that day and a half that he was on campus here. So we got to talk a lot. Of course, I knew him back from the 1970s campaigns. Birch Bayh, I describe as a giant among giants. He was in a United States Senate that had some of the most remarkable senators in the history of this country. They were men, mainly men. Margaret Chase Smith from Maine was there as one of the few women. But they all worked together. They were Republicans and Democrats together in the 60s and 70s and even into the 80s for a minute. He was castigated a lot, even by the Indianapolis Star, which then was a very Republican paper. They called him the Refounding Father because he put together the 25th Amendment that Larry Conrad wrote as chief of the Senate Subcommittee on Constitutional Amendments that Birch was the chair of. That constitutional amendment came in just in time to not have a major, major problem when Nixon had to resign and the appointment was made with Gerald Ford had been made because of Spiro Agnew having been shoved out. All of that came together as just one example. It was Birch Bayh who fought for the Equal Rights Amendment for women. Indiana was the last state to ratify that amendment. They needed two more states and it would have been in the Constitution, but two other states didn't come on board. He was constantly getting that kind of major policy made. The 18-year-old vote was a Birch Bayh idea. We have produced those kinds of people, a Dick Lugar on the Republican side. They served together up until Birch got beat in 80 by Dan Quayle, another. A lot of people made fun of Dan Quayle, but I'll tell you, Hoosiers that knew him knew he was a workhorse. He put together the whole Job Training Partnership Act with Ted Kennedy. I mean, talk about cooperation. There's Dan Quayle and Ted Kennedy working together. Hoosiers know how to do that out of our political culture. And we've lost, I think, quite a bit of that because there's so much of a theoretical thinking instead of what is a fact and how we can solve problems in a step-by-step manner.
We gonna stand up for them.
Ray Sheely, Ball State political science professor and co-director of the Bowen Center for Public Affairs. In April, they are hosting the 34th annual Bowen Institute on Political Participation. More information is at bowencenterforpublicaffairs.org, or drop us a note and I'll get that for you. Interesting to hear the academic perspective, as well as the memory of a time when a Dan Quayle and a Ted Kennedy could reach across the aisle to put together the Job Partnership Training Act. Much less of that today, but there is hope, some of it driven by programs like the Bowen Center, educating and encouraging people to work in the system. And that, friends, is our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beauty Rest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.